Note to amateur stations, this rain report has two identification breaks. A presentation on National Parks on the Air to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with the rain report for December 16th. Sean Kutzko, KX9X, and Norm Fusaro, W3IZ, presented a report on the recently concluded National Parks on the Air, NPOTA, event at the Dayton Hamvention. It was so successful that the Radio Amateurs of Canada, RAC, are planning a similar event in 2019. There will be more information on this at the end of this report. It is an interesting report, so let's get right to it.
Hi, everybody. In case you don't know, I'm Sean Kutzko, KX9X. That's Norm Fusaro at W3IZ.
Hey, guys. Thanks for coming out today. Thanks for staying.
As everybody here knows, National Parks on the Air was obviously one of the biggest events in all of amateur radio, and it all happened because of you going out and going to these sites that we created the event for, and for the chasers who stayed home and worked some of us with those piddly little 5-watt signals and that we had with wire antennas. So I just wanted to really say thank you, and that was the main reason why Norm and I wanted to do this forum, was just to say thank you. So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to give you about a minute's worth of statistics. Some of you already know this stuff because you're data obsessed like I am. But really, we're just going to throw out a few questions, and I want to hear from you what your stories were, some of your biggest successes, some of the things that you learned. Give us some feedback. What are some things that we can do better with for the next event? So you're going to have to wait patiently while we get all of the situation worked out a little bit, but it's coming. Let's give you a little statistics here. Before the event started, I would have been happy with about 400,000 or 500,000 contacts in an entire year for all of this. Boy, did you guys prove me wrong. 1,108,960 QSOs uploaded. That's you. 21,344 activations. 460 out of the 489 units were activated. Some only once or twice under some incredibly difficult operating circumstances. And a couple of you who put some of those units on the air, especially folks like Pete Kobach, K0BAK, going into densely populated urban areas and pulling off an activation like that. Pete, stand up, man. You deserve a round for that.
I want to acknowledge Peter also, because when this thing first came out, he sent emails that it was impossible, we shouldn't have this, we should operate from there. And we said, no, man, that's for you guys to figure out how to do it. Your ingenuity, the stupor station, those things, man, that was the stuff, man. That was the stuff that made this thing successful. Yep. And if you notice, man, people just learned from everybody else by what you did. They may not duplicate it, but they picked up some ideas and stuff. So fantastic. Great ingenuity. Yep. Thank you.
Let's see. What else have we got here? 1,492 individual activators went out and put on an operation. We've got over 17,000 unique calls in the leaderboard. So that's a lot of chasers that are getting on and pursuing this as well. Over 1 million contacts. That's something that we should all be proud of. That was a big deal.
And you know what? Wait a minute. You just mentioned the chasers. When the certificate machine was turned on, one of the first certificates that came out in the first batch of 30 was from China. Yeah, he had several parks he contacted, so it was pretty cool.
So that's really all the statistical stuff. Oh, there was one other thing that I wanted to mention. So when we were creating this event and working out the logistics for it, we didn't think that there would be as much demand for sideband as it turned out that there would be. We thought that since this was an event focused on portable operating, that CW would have reigned supreme. Boy, were we wrong. 84% of all QSOs made for national parks on the air were sideband. 13% were CW, and just 1% or 2% were the digital modes. I only worked four stations on PSK or RITI throughout the entire year. Now, granted, one of them was the Dry Tortugas National Park, and that was my only QSO with that national park, so I'm really grateful for that. You know, I think in looking at the way that the Centennial QSO Party was run in 2014, that was an event that was completely wide open. You could, you know, run any band, any mode. And we were trying to rope things in a little bit to make it a little bit more manageable. And I think we pushed it back just a little too far. I think that if we had opened up the event so that you could work each unit once per mode, that it would have been a little bit more enjoyable and you would have seen more CW and digital activity. So that's a lesson that we learned. You know, we got that one wrong, but we'll incorporate that into future events that we have. What I would like to do at this point is just ask some questions and see if you all had any comments or great stories that you could tell us. So I'm going to take this microphone that Norm's holding here, and I'm going to be running up and down all over the place to make sure that everybody can hear this, and also so that we get it on the video as well. So I'm going to take this microphone and be down there in just a second, so bear with me.
We talked about this at the table. You know, we're trying to develop another event going forward, so, you know, trying to get IT to do some data mining on something that's already passed, you know, it takes resources, and, you know, these guys are already working. In fact, when we proposed this National Parks to the board, we said, remember, your pet project is going to get pushed down the list because this is a priority now. And they all voted okay. So now all these projects that were in line to get done are back on the table for IT. So, you know, trying to get them to do some data mining is going to be a little difficult unless they feel like staying after school.
You're listening to a presentation on the recent National Parks on the Air event by Sean Kutzko, KX9X, and Norm Fusaro, W3IZ. We'll continue this presentation in a moment. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, and this is the Rain Report.
This is the 224.52 WM9W repeater, Chicago, KC9RP, Des Plaines, Illinois.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
One of the things that was exciting, of course, for all of this was your very first activation. Who here did not operate portable until they tried national parks on the air? You didn't do that? Okay. Let's hear from... we got Laura right here, WZ8C, and Jack, WKEC. So, okay, so you found out about national parks on the air, and then you decided to try it. So tell us about your first operating experience.
Oh, that's an interesting story. I actually didn't really operate portable until I got, aside from Field Day, I'll say that, aside from Field Day. But I actually didn't even have the ability to. I didn't have a rig. I didn't have an antenna. So we go to Dayton last year. My father picks up a buddy pole, and it was just over at that point. We were going portable at that point. Picked up a buddy pole. I had a 706 Mark IIG I took out in the field, battery. And my very first activation was the River Racin down in Monroe, Michigan. And that was my very first activation. Did it with a buddy pole. We were not allowed to attach any antennas to trees. So that's why the buddy pole was so essential. And that was my very first portable activation. I've been a ham for 19 years, and I have never been as active in amateur radio as I was in 2016 at all. And that's because of you guys and your hard work and getting all of us on the radio for that 1 year. The only thing that I can say for a suggestion for whatever is the next, I mean, I'm sure you'll spill the beans before the end of the hour, but I mean, we'll work on it. But Emily, get those cookies out. Let's go. The only other thing I would say that would make my life a little bit easier was I had 406 confirmed parks as a chaser, and scrolling through all of those, trying to find, it would be so helpful if on whatever you sign in on the website or whatever, if it was marked in a different color or where it said confirmed next to it, just so it would be easier to understand when you're like, oh, okay, I'm looking up the designator on this particular park. Never mind, it's confirmed. I have that one. I'm going to let people who need it get it. Because there were those rare entities that people were fighting over, and I would purposely stay out of the way for people who needed it because I didn't need it. But it's for quickness sake, it would be nice that when you look up the designator, oh, never mind, I have it, you know, confirmed. But other than that, this was an amazing program. I'm so happy I got to meet everyone. I'm so happy everyone came out today. So thank you so much for making me an active ham again.
I actually met Laura at the end of October. I wasn't a ham, and we went out the very first week of November and did a mobile operation, throwing wire up in a tree at the North Country Trail, and that was so much fun that by December I had my general, so I could be part of the parks.
That's great. Okay, so let's just open it up for a minute. Who has a question or a comment that they want to throw?
I got one for you.
Okay.
I got one for you, because I was going to mention it. You upgraded your license during the course of the year. I know Emily upgraded. How many people upgraded their license class during the course of National Parks on the Air? Look at that. Look at that. That's great. That's great.
Other than you became a life member? Right on, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jack, you said you didn't even have a license when National Parks on the Air started? You had your tech? Is there anybody here in attendance who did not have an amateur radio license at the beginning of 2016? Right on. Great. Sharon, right on. That's excellent. Okay. So I'd like to open this up to Steve. Okay. Steve, AG2AA, tell us a good story.
Once upon a time. So we're one of the groups that worked as a club. I didn't do any activations myself, and I didn't do any chasing. But our club, W2SO, Lancaster, New York, Buffalo, has one historic site within 300 and some odd miles of it, and it's downtown. So it's an old mansion in the downtown section of the city where Teddy Roosevelt got inaugurated after President McKinley got shot in Buffalo in 19-whatever. It's a challenge, because they have just enough grass and two trees, and they let us use both of them. So we set up field day style. We have an experienced club. We have an experienced field day club. We have experienced contesters. So we set up like it was field day. We ran 100 watts. We ran two, three stations in some cases, one CW, one sideband, one digital. And the CW ops, I mean, they would have 2-3 hour runs where it was call after call after call, sideband, call after call after call. But just like field day, we had experienced operators start the runs with an inexperienced operator logging for them, and then we'd work that inexperienced operator into the operating position so they could get some experience with the pileups, they could have the fun, they could have that thrill of that chase. So I appreciate all of you as one of the activators at a fairly rare site, because I think we're the only ones that activated it, that we had some really awesome runs, and it was a ball. And from that end of it, from an experienced club that does field day, that was way more fun than field day. The one day the weather was miserable, they actually let us operate inside the mansion, so that was really kind of nice. The other thing we found out, funny story, is if you put the 40-meter dipole too close to the one wall, it crashes their Wi-Fi. They never put it together, because one of the staff members came out and, you know, just in casual conversation, yeah, our Wi-Fi's down, we can't figure it out. We're like, we're going to move that dipole. So it was fun. We enjoyed it, and thanks all for calling into us. I hope everybody, and I know I still owe you a QSL card, but we'll sort that out. But I think everybody should have their confirmations by now. We had some logging problems. I think we straightened it out. So thanks, guys.
Now, I'm just curious. They talk about 1.1 million QSLs for the year. When was the actual first CUSO? I mean, how many operating days? Was it the full 365 that somebody do on the 1st of January? Or how many actually operating days?
Oh, the first CUSO was 0001, right?
Yeah, I worked somebody in Hot Springs National Park half an hour after the thing started on January 1st.
Which is another thing we didn't anticipate. Sean and I thought this thing was going to kind of gradually move up because of the weather, winter, you know, outdoor activity. And we thought it would just kind of like ramp up as March, April, May would good go. And, man, right out of the gate, I mean, it was New Year's Eve, East Coast time, when this thing kicked off at UTC, right? And we were just, and him and I are texting each other as we're just tuning the bands, and we're going, dude, this is outrageous. We can't believe it. All these guys out there in parkas, at Lakeside, operating, freezing. It was just wild.
I went out the morning of January 1st. I thought I would be one of the first guys to go on the air for this thing. No.
Yeah.
We'll conclude this presentation on the recent National Parks on the Air event by Sean Kutzko, KX9X, and Norm Fusaro, W3IZ, right after we pause for station identification. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, and you're listening to the Rain Report. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
We got, I'm sorry. Yes, one more. NO2C, yeah, coming at you.
Okay. I had the privilege with Mike of operating the White House. Yeah. And I think Mike should tell that story. Excuse me. Hay fever. No. Mike tells it so much better. My wife actually got her general because of this project. So... But with the hay fever, we'll be here half a day.
Okay. The Reader's Digest version.
The Reader's Digest version was he did all the work. KC2SYF went through a tremendous amount of work. He had to deal with the FBI. He had to deal with the Secret Service. He had to deal with the parks. He had to deal with everything. It was just an amazing amount of work, and I'm taking no credit. They let me operate for a while and log, and my wife operated, but he did everything to make this happen. We went down there, just to give you one little thing I have to tell you, we were allowed to bring two generators. Why two? Because you couldn't bring a gas can. Okay? No gas can. And Mike got through all the paperwork. He dealt with the Secret Service, who were great, by the way. They came over. They warned us when we had to hold the tent, when Obama was going to fly over the top. And we did. They came over. And I said to the guy from the Secret Service, when are you coming? And he said, no. He said, I'm not telling you that, but I'll tell you it's going to happen today. But my favorite story, and since you let me do this, you knew I was going to do this. Annette came on and said, you guys have to move. We're having Annette. And I said, I do a lot of nets. We don't have to move. The guy said, you have to move. So I turned to Mike. I said, they want us to move. We've been on 3 hours. And I got to say the following. No, we are not moving. I'll take all twos. And this is KC2SYF. So he got blamed. He got blamed for the whole thing. I love telling that story. But it was a tremendous amount of work. If you haven't seen the video, just go on YouTube and look up DZ10. And Mike did also put the video. Actually, he did everything. I just got to go down there. And there were 9 of us. And we operated. We did 1,200 cues. We had a little problem with noise right after Obama left, by the way. And but it was a lot of fun. And my wife became a general. She's studying for her extra because now she's chasing DX.
Right on. Right.
So that raises a good point. The operation from DZ-10 on the White House, there's a video of it on YouTube. There's a lot of video of National Parks on the Air operations on YouTube. How many of you posted a video to YouTube of your operation? Just a handful. Okay. Well, if you ever want to relive last year, just go on YouTube and type in National Parks on the Air, and you'll be amazed at the amount of stuff that you find out there. Jack, NY8D, go ahead.
Yeah, I live in Lowell, Michigan, which happens to be where the headquarters for the National Park Service for the North Country Trail is. And right next door is the North Country Trail Association, which I've been a member of for over 20 years. When the first list came out as activations, that was not on it. And I went down and I met Mark Weaver, the National Park Service supervisor.
Oh, it's your fault.
Yeah. Well, and I said, what's with this? Well, turns out he already was on the phone to Sean trying to find out what's with this. And I guess Mark made some phone calls or contacted somebody in Washington. I don't know who he knows in Washington, but that got that and other trails got onto the list. So, and we had one advantage. Michigan, going on a trail in Michigan in the middle of winter isn't the best time. But north, just in the north end of Lowell is a Boy Scout cabin that the trail goes right next to it. And we got use of the cabin with heat and electricity and everything, so that was nice.
That's pretty good.
Now, you know, with that North Country Trail.
I was about to ask if you would tell the story of
yes,
how all this
okay.
went down.
So Mark may have had some connections, but his last words to us were, I really don't have faith in my boys down in Washington to get this done by the first of the year. And we just kind of bought. So we leave for, you know, I go down to Philadelphia for Christmas vacation with my family. And about Christmas Eve was a, well, no, it was a December 23rd was
December
the last
23rd.
Business day, right? And somebody must have, just before they left the office, pushed that send button and they added all the trails to the list. Sean's in Connecticut. I'm in Philadelphia. And we are doing a mad scramble to update the tables, including the twofers, the threefers, the fourfers, the blah, 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 all that stuff, while we're getting ready to launch this thing in only less than a week. And we did, and of course, working with IT. And of course, if you are in IT business, you know anytime you change anything, you have to test everything from beginning to end. And we were, you know, change this, add this, do that. Things that were changing, and all these trail names, and Washington Ranch, Rochambeau, and this, and that. We were like, we got to abbreviate this stuff, and then we got into a thing with the IT guys about spellings and stuff. It was crazy, but we pulled it off, man. We pulled it off by December 31st.
That was a Christmas that I don't think a whole lot of people in IT at ARRL will forget anytime soon.
Yeah. By the way, Mark Weaver got his license. Mark Weaver, the National Park Service, he got his license back in June.
Yeah, he did.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the trails, the addition of the trails was one of the major capstones of the entire event. More operating took place from the trails, especially the westward migration trails from the 1850s, 1860s. I think it was over 16% of all NPOTA QSOs were made from trails and river units. North Country Trail was right at the top. So I'd say mission accomplished.
You have been listening to a presentation by Sean Kutzko, KX9X, and Norm Fusaro, W3IZ, about the National Parks on the Air event, which was so successful that the Radio Amateurs of Canada are planning a similar event in 2019. More information about this event can be found on their website at https://cnpota.ca/. Once again, that's https://cnpota.ca/. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2018 Rain. All rights are reserved. This weekly hamcast updates Saturday morning on therainreport.com and Saturday evenings immediately following the amateur radio newsline on WTWW shortwave out of Lebanon, Tennessee on 5085 kHz. Now for Rain founder and producer Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network. Keep on hamming!